Okay, let's get ready for our study, a very important study tonight in dealing with the ascension of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we could spend lifetimes learning about Jesus Christ, the status, eternity past, incarnation, life on earth, ascension, seated at your right hand, coming again, sitting and ruling in millennium and for all eternity. And Father, we never grow weary of studying our Savior. And we pray, Father, that your Spirit will open our eyes to things you'd have us to see and understand. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, I've been in the ministry 42 plus years, and was 43. I guess it's 43 now. May's already gone. And it just amazes me when I turn to something like our study of tonight and concentrate on it, the things I learn and understand. And so tonight we're going to be looking at the ascension of Jesus Christ. Now, what you have been handed, let's talk about that for a moment. You were handed this by James. He called me actually and says, anything to do? And I said, no. And then I called him back. And I said, I got a lot of things I want to put on PowerPoint up here. And so, can we put it on a stick? And then I called him back and I said, it's just too much, too complicated to put it on a stick and put it on the overhead. So, if you want to do the whole thing, you can do that. And he said, well, send it to me. You're being blessed, as it were, by James wanting to put this together for you. Show you a copy, if you like, of what I do and how it's organized, but not very presentable. And so that's the first thing. Now, going to look at the ascension of Jesus Christ, and there's just so much involved in it. And I don't know how many lessons it'll take for us to study and cover the ascension. I grew up in a denominational church, and then went to a Bible church for years, and then went to seminary, and have been studying for 40 plus years, and just so many new things that I've never been taught and been aware of. So tonight we're going to begin our look at the ascension of Jesus Christ. And we're going to start off in Roman numer 1 with a description of the ascension of Christ. Part 1, the ascension of Jesus Christ. The ascension of Jesus Christ is one of the most vital experiences of Jesus Christ, yet filled with difficulties. Now, when I say that, we'll see it as we go through, but there are verses that are difficult to find out what exactly is going on in some of those verses. The different scholars take different views on different things dealing with the ascension of Jesus Christ. The ascension is one of the most dramatic events in human history, on the same level as God becoming man. That is astronomical. I know we've gotten used to Christmas and a baby in a manger, but to think God becoming man, that's just boggling. And then, of course, the perfect life of Christ is another study. The spiritual death of Christ on the cross, and then his physical death on the cross, burial, which we covered had its problems, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the next thing to occur, as far as historical importance, is the ascension of Jesus Christ. Now, for the record, the next event is the final event on the same level as the birth, death, resurrection, ascension, and that is the session of Jesus Christ. Session means being seated at the right hand of God on the throne of God which we will cover in part. It's difficult to talk about the ascension of Christ without talking about the resurrection and the ascension. But we will cover the ascension of Christ later on its own merit. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ is God becoming man. The death of Jesus Christ is his spiritual death, not since Adam has anyone not been born spiritually dead. Adam and Eve came into the world alive, not dead. And then they sinned and died spiritually in the garden. This does not happen again until the second Adam, Jesus Christ. So the resurrection of Christ from the dead is, he's the first to do that. And then the ascension of Jesus Christ. He is the first human being to ascend to the throne of God, the ascension of Christ, a member of the human race, being seated at the right hand of God on God's throne. Now, point two. Now, if you have any questions, please ask. The ascension of Jesus Christ is Jesus Christ leaving planet Earth and ascending to his place of origin to take his seat at the right hand of God. Three, the ascension of Jesus Christ is directly related to three other events, all of which are necessary and interdependent: death, resurrection, ascension, and session. Now, the combination of these make up the glorification of Jesus Christ. I had no idea of Roman numeral 2. This is something new to me, and I didn't get it out of any book or anything, but it started working itself together. Greek words used to describe or refer to the ascension of Jesus Christ. Now, let me talk to you a few moments. You're getting ready to go on a little journey into the Greek, and I hope you'll appreciate it because of the words used to describe the ascension of Christ are boggling to the mind. It is just amazing. I'm always curious of scholars, pastors. The word rapture is not in the Greek New Testament. Yes, it is. If you understand the definition of rapture, and if you understand the Greek words, snatching up, taking away, these are the concepts of the rapture. They're there. So we've got to understand the Greek language and understand what it's conveying. It is just amazing what is going on in the Greek before our eyes as we go through these. Now, what I want you to do, a lot of these are Jesus Christ speaking himself. And what I'm hoping, this is my prayer as I put this together, that you and I will develop an unbelievable yearning, as Jesus Christ had, to go and be with the Father. Because that's what death is for us. Rapture death is being with the Father. It is not a bad deal at all. And I'm going to show you, periodically through his life, Christ was already thinking about the ascension of Christ, his ascension from earth to heaven. Yes, there was the scene in Gethsemane. It's like, and I got it in my notes later, but let me just tell you, it's like standing here and you see mountain peaks. And then way down there is a high mountain. And on one mountain peak is the Garden of Gethsemane. Another mountain peak, the six trials of Christ. Another mountain peak is crucifixion. Another mountain peak is burial. Another mountain peak, his resurrection. And then there is the high mountain, his ascension to the Father. And that's what he looked forward to. That's what was on his mind often, as you're going to see throughout his life. His mind was on ascending to God the Father. And I hope that I can convey this to you, where as you look at these things, it will start becoming yours and mine view. We're going to see our own self as being ascended at death to God the Father. That's a phenomenal, wonderful thing. And I'm hoping to be able to relay this to you. So we're going to look at some Hebrew or Greek words. Don't get nervous. These are rich. These are beautiful. So let's start off. Point one, anelepsis. A-N-A-L-E-P-S-I-S. Now this Greek word means to receive up. Used only once in a rather interesting way. Luke 9:51, which James has darkened for you. When the days were approaching for his ascension, he was determined to go to Jerusalem. Now, if you have the NASB with the marginal notes, you will note that in the margin they translate this taking up, his taking up. Now, as the time, the NIV says, as the time approached for him to be taken up. Now, they translated it the Greek. Taken up to heaven. Jesus, resultedly, set out for Jerusalem. Now, what's going to happen? He's going to go to Jerusalem. He's going to be beaten. Horrible trials. False trials. Illegitimate trials. Legal trials. Be beaten. A crown of thorns crushed down on top of his head, mocked with the robe, and then crucified. But he's going to go there. And what I want you to understand from this passage, it's not about bearing the sins of the world. It's about that high mountain down there, his ascension. That's what he sees. As a result of going to Jerusalem, yeah, all these horrible things that people are going to talk about, but what I see, Jesus Christ, is the ascension to the Father. So let's get on to Jerusalem. Let's get it going. Let's get this over with so I can go home to God the Father. Now, the New Living Translation. As the time drew near. Now, I have a reason for going through these various translations with you, and I'll show you. As the time drew near for him to ascend to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. The Berean Literal Bible, which is generally always pretty good. And it came to pass, in the completing of the days of his ascension, that he steadfastly set the face to go to Jerusalem. But I want you to see what he's looking forward to, going to die. But something better than that, I'm going home to the Father. Now, the King James, and it came to pass when the time was come, and I like that, when the time was come that he should be received up, different translation, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. The Jubilee Bible, 2000, and it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. The Darby Bible, which is generally pretty good, the Darby Bible translation, and it came to pass when the days of his receiving up were fulfilled. Now, I like that, and I'll show you why. Were fulfilled that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Young's literal translation, and it came to pass in the completing of the days of his being taken up, he fixed his face to go to Jerusalem. This is pretty close to the original Greek. It came to pass in the completing of the days. I'm going to show you how important that is. Of his being taken up, translated ascension, but the Greek word taken up, that he fixed his face, and as we're going to see, that's a Hebrewism. That's the way the Hebrews would say it. He set his face to go to Jerusalem. Kenneth Wiest, probably one of my favorite Greek scholars, Kenneth Wiest, now it came to pass, and you'll notice how long he is, not being able to translate one word for one word. Now it came to pass, when the days were being fulfilled, with reference to his being taken up, that he himself, the absolute there, set his face steadfastly to be proceeding to Jerusalem. And then the strict Greek reading, and by that I mean this is just raw reading right out of the Greek text. And it came to pass in the to be fulfilled days of the assumption of him, and he, his face, that's why we said he himself, and he, his face, set to go to Jerusalem. Now, let's take a look at what we have going on. In this verse, there were two key words, approaching and ascension. We're approaching. The articular infinitive. Now, you haven't heard that very often, and doesn't occur all that often, but the articular infinitive used here in the Greek, now watch this, expresses the time when something will occur. So that's in the Greek. In the Greek verb, expressing a time when something will occur. Of the verb, to be filled completely. Referring to the days prior to the ascension of Jesus Christ. Now let's look at the word translated ascension. Taken up. Receiving up. His being received by God at the throne of God. So, knowing what all had to occur, Jesus Christ set his direction toward Jerusalem to be ill-treated by the religious crowd, killed by the Romans, so that he might hasten to his return to God the Father. Now, this is a turning point if you're studying the book of Luke. You're studying the book of Luke. This is a turning point. Verse 50, before verse 51, is in the same chapter, is the transfiguration. The transfiguration. And so we're looking at chapter 9, and this is the, in chapter 9, we have the transfiguration. That's where Christ goes up and is transfigured before three disciples. This is in verses 28 through 35. Now, well, as a matter of fact, let's just look. Look with me at Luke chapter 9. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Dr. Luke. We'll be studying a lot. Dr. Luke has a lot to say about the ascension of Christ. Luke chapter 9. Now, chapter 9, where we are, is a breaking point in the book of Luke. Now, again, verses 28 to 35 is the transfiguration. But what I want you to do is look at verses down, make it verse 43 and 44, and Luke 9, verse 43. And they were all amazed at the greatness of God as a result of the transfiguration. But while everyone was marveling at all he was doing, he said to his disciples, "Let these words sink into your ears, for the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men." Now I want you to look at verse 51. And it came about when the days were approaching for his ascension that he resolutely set his face to go to Jerusalem. Change in the book. All of a sudden now, out of all the things that happened before, now from here on, it's about his journey to Jerusalem and what happens once he gets to Jerusalem. So, the days of his betrayal, his crucifixion, but day of his ascension is what he's looking forward to. His ascension back to his Father was extremely important to Jesus Christ. Now, get the picture. Get the picture. This is what I was saying a moment ago. Looking at the hills toward a higher mountain. And so you got, and as he goes toward Jerusalem, there'll be the different things that occur. And each one of these are a hill, and he sees them looking down. Way down there is a high mountain. That's the ascension to God the Father. And that's what he sees. That's where his mind is set. Yes, he sees, I've got to go through this. I've got to go through the triumphal entry. I've got to go through the things that happen in the upper room. I've got to go through things that happen in the garden. And on and on and on. There's what I'm going for. I'm going for that ascension to God the Father. That's predominantly in his mind. Now, so he sees his ascension. Now, Luke 9:51 through chapter 19, verse 28. Luke 9:50. We're on page 6, top page. Luke 9:51 through 19:28 record the events on his journey to Jerusalem. Now, just to show you this, look at Luke 19:28. Turn to 19:28. Chapter 19, verse 28. And after he had said these things, he was going on ahead, ascending to Jerusalem. So he's on his way now and to Jerusalem. The triumphal entry into Jerusalem is the next event, and then the things that occur after that. Now, back to 9:51. Back to Luke chapter 9, verse 51, which begins his departure from Galilee. Now, he will spend the last 2 years before these events primarily in Capernaum in the area of Galilee. And it's a beautiful area, and Judith and I have been there. Eve, you went to Capernaum, didn't you? Beautiful area there. And well, I think it was really beautiful. And it's just one of those things I'm glad they did. But when you're in Capernaum and you walk down and here's a big open field kind of going down toward the Sea of Galilee, they got a big sign. Be quiet. Just be quiet. Don't be over talking, laughing, cutting up. And it really is nice just to go over there, sit down. And if you have enough in your soul to think about Christ there and the things that must have occurred there, it's very beautiful. But now it's time to leave Galilee. It's time now to go to Jerusalem. Okay. When the days were approaching, you recall that I read several translations, a few of which included the concept of days being fulfilled, and some of those translations translated it that way. And that is very important. Carries the idea of a set time. Carries the idea of a set time. Let's go back now. Go back to page 3. And the NIV, as the time approached, New Living, as the time drew near, Berean, and it came to pass in the completion of the days, King James, and it came to pass when the time was come, Jubilee Bible, and it came to pass when the time was come, Darby, and it came to pass when the days of his receiving were fulfilled, Young's Literal Translation, in the completing of the days, Kenneth Wiest, the days being fulfilled. And so what I'm pointing out to you here is something's going on. This is set by God. This is set and predetermined by God. These verses show us God is at play here. God has all of these things worked out. Look at Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. Galatians 4, 4. This is unlike Sunday morning. We didn't put all the verses in there. You're going to have to use your Bible.
What's the deal? Things getting late,
John? No, I didn't have him to.
Galatians 4, 4 is in there.
It's here.
Is it in it? Well, how about you?
Well, I picked that back.
Man.
I say that resolutely.
All right. 4, 4. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. These two events, incarnation, ascension, get involved with an intense study of the doctrine of predestination. Now, we're not going to use our time to study the doctrine of predestination, but just to work on it a little bit, the Calvinist view of predestination is that everyone and everything is predetermined by God. They don't want to insult God. So therefore, God has predetermined everything. God has predetermined who is going to believe in Jesus Christ and go to heaven. God has predestined some not to believe and go to the lake of fire. That's their view of God. That to them glorifies God. That doesn't glorify God to me at all. But there is a proper understanding of predestination. There's only one person in all the history of man predestined. That's Jesus the Christ. He is predestined when he came. He is predestined what's going to happen to him. And he's predestined for his departure. So he is the only one predestined. Now, when you and I believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, we share his predestination. Therefore, people, we have this same anticipation of our ascension to heaven, our going from earth to heaven to be with the Father. We have the same predestination as he had. We follow his ascension. This is unbelievable. So, yes.
Though he still has free will, even though he's predestined.
He said, yes, I'll do it. Yes.
He still has
free will. And that's why the Isaiah 10, if he would offer himself as a guilt offering. So he had to do that. Yes. But if he did it, he's under the predestined plan of God. So we share this predestination. The last phrase in Luke 9:51. He was determined to go to Jerusalem. The King James has this more, a little more correct. He set his face to go to Jerusalem. This is an idiom from the Hebrew. And I'm just going to give you one clear-cut example. Ezekiel chapter 6, verse 2. Son of man, set your face toward the mountains of Israel and prophesy against them. It's a Hebrewism. Set your face. Here it means determination to fulfill a task in reference to Jesus Christ. A second Greek word used for the ascension is found in Luke 24:51. All right, we have that in for you. 24:51. While he was blessing them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. Okay, this is one of those passages that has some difficulty. We have two verbs, departed, carried up. Now, both of these words could refer to the ascension. Some students of the Greek divide them, and they say that only one refers to the ascension, and that's the first one, and some say clearly they both give two aspects of the ascension. And that's where I stand. And let me show you why. This is the Greek word deistomi. And actually, it's a compound word, dia, and which means through, and in histomi, to stand. Dia, denoting separation. And istomi, to stand, to separate, to place asunder. In transitive use, to separate oneself, to go away, to depart. Now, note the second verb was carried up. This is the imperfect of the verb anaphero. You will recall the previous word in 951 was analipsis. Okay? You're going to learn a little Greek in spite of yourself. See that little ana at the beginning of these words, that prefix ana? Okay, that means up. and we're going to have it again. That means up in Luke 9:51, to receive up. While here in Luke 24:51, we have the same prefix, ana, to, and plus the verb to carry, therefore to carry up. Now, people, what we're going to do, we're going to go on this great mission. We're going to see some beautiful words, different words, to describe the ascension of Christ. And each of these words are rich. There are so many different words that are going to be used that it just startled me. Sitting at my desk working, wow. The different words that are used to describe this event, the ascension of Jesus Christ. And so here we have in Luke 24:51, ana, plus the verb, to carry, therefore to carry or to bring up. So this word fits the ascension concept of Jesus going up. Luke 24:51. While he was blessing them, he departed from them. Now, if both words describe two aspects of the ascension, what pictures do we have here? The picture of Jesus Christ standing there in their presence. He departs from them. And the next verb describes the direction in which he departed, in which he was left them. He was carried up. So both words to me are rich words describing the drama of the ascension of Christ. He was standing there talking to them, and all of a sudden he starts going up out of their midst. And he starts going out of their midst up. So both words describe dimensions, to me, describe dimensions of the ascension of Jesus Christ. He departs from them. The next verb describes the direction in which he departed, going up. If we flow from verse 50, 51, 52, 53, the record the immediate result of the ascension. So let's look, if you will, at our passage and in the text. So let's look at Luke 24. We're going to get the whole picture of the ascension before we even get to Acts chapter 1. All right, so the flow of the verse, 50 and 51. Let's look at Luke 24, verse 50 and 51. Verse 50. And he led them out as far as Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came about that while he was blessing them, he parted from them. And they returned. Now we have the result of his departure in 52 and 53. We have the results, immediate results. And they returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising God. So here we have a beautiful picture of the ascension of Christ. If this is what Luke is describing, does not conflict with those that are going, we'll see in Acts chapter 1 and when we come to that and study that. They all flow together. Okay. So far then, we have three Greek words for ascension. One, anuptis, to receive up. See that, Anna? Up, to receive up. This is used only in Luke 9:51. Then we had diastome, to depart from. To depart from them. And then three, anaphero, to carry up. Pharaoh, to carry. Anna, up, to carry up. Okay, now we come to our fourth Greek word, describing the ascension of Christ. This word is used for the ascension. This one is used in the Gospel of John 3:13. All right, here's the John 3:13. No one has ascended into heaven, but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. Okay. Now, John 6:52. What then, if you should behold the Son of Man ascending, same word, ascending where he was from? John 20:17, our passage. Remember, that's where we are, John 20:17. All right. Jesus said to her, to Mary, touch me not. Stop grasping me. I am not yet ascended unto the Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and my God and your God. Now, all three of these verses have the same Greek word. But what I want us to just take the time here and note the three things we learned of the ascension from these three verses. One, he ascended into heaven. Two, he ascended where he was before. Three, he ascended to God the Father. So we have three dramatic things about the ascension that Christ is anticipating. He has ascended into heaven, the third heaven. He ascended where he was before. And he ascended to the Father. Now the fourth Greek word is also found in John. John 7:33. Therefore, Jesus said, for a little while longer, I am with you. Then I go to him who sent me. Now people, let me just get you ready. That little verb, I go. We're going to see that's translated, I go, with several different words. I want you to appreciate the richness of the Greek here. You won't get this in the English. They all translate it, go. But I want to show you, these are not the same words. So here we have John 7:33. Therefore Jesus said, for a little while longer, I am with you. Then I go to him who sent me. Here the Greek word is hupago, to go away. Here he goes away to the one who sent him, God the Father. And again with the same verb, the Gospel of John 8:14, 13:3, you can look at those. So I hope you're beginning to see just how important the ascension of God, ascension to God the Father is and was to Jesus Christ. And how he was constantly looking forward to his ascension back to the Father. And people, we can have that same desire. I want to go to the Father. People, death, the rapture, these are not problem-solving devices. The problem-solving devices is the Spirit-filled life. The problem-solving devices are found in the Word of God. A lot of people think the rapture is a problem solver. Well, if the rapture would just occur, it would get me out of this marriage. It'd get me out of this financial jam. It would get me out of my sickness. It'd get me out of this horrible world I'm in. People, that's not the purpose of the rapture. The rapture is to go home with the Lord. The same thing is here about death. So all these words anticipate Jesus Christ anticipating going home to the Father. That's our view. I'm going to go home to God the Father. I'm not home. This isn't home. This is my dwelling place for a while. I'm going to go home to God the Father. Okay, the fifth word. The fifth Greek word found also in the Gospel of John 13:1. Now this is an interesting word. Metabino. Metabino. The prefix meta denoting change of place or change of condition. Bino means to go or to come, to pass or to go from one place or state to another. Now what is interesting here is that we want to be sure when we think of the ascension of Jesus Christ, it's in two parts. Always remember that. It's in two parts. He will depart out of this world and he will depart to God the Father. So you got two parts. Departing out of this world and to God the Father. It's like our salvation. We're saved out from condemnation into eternal life. Well, Jesus Christ's ascension is out from the world to God the Father. Okay, the sixth word. The sixth green word is found in John 14:2. Uh-oh. For I go. Okay. We might expect the verb we've seen to go in the previous in John 7:33. But now Jesus Christ uses a rich word here, peruomai, to go from one place to another, translated to go. Now I'm going to pull all these together for you in a moment. Seven. The Greek word is found, the seventh Greek word for the ascension is found in John 16:7. Here it is. I go away. There's that word go again. Only here it's upper komai. Okay, once again, we have this simple translation. Go away. This is the third time we've seen here the richness of the Greek and the inadequacy of the English. English is inadequate. We have to use whole different concepts. We can't use the same. We've got to change the whole concept. And we do that with English words. The Greek does it with one word. But you would say, I go away, he disappeared, he left our presence, different type of things like that. And the Greek does the same thing with beautiful words. But the translators, trying to make it simple, translate it to go. So, the seventh word here, to go away, is the third time. So, John 7:33, I go to him who sent me. John 14:2, I go to prepare a place for you. And now, John 16:7, that I go away. If I do not go away. And we have three different Greek words. 7:33, upago. 14:2, peruomai. 16:7, apokomai. Each translated, go away in the English. Okay, let's see what we got. 7:33. Jesus Christ said, for a little while longer, I am with you. Then I go to him who sent me. Here Jesus Christ says he goes away. Now the Greek word means undercover, out of sight. Not just to another town, but to another heavenly location. All of this is involved in the Greek word. John 14:2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. Here Jesus Christ uses a verb meaning to go from one place to another. I leave earth and go to my Father's dwelling in heaven. Then in John 16:7, but I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage, spiritually, that I go away. For if I do not go away, now both times here it's the same Greek word. Here Jesus Christ uses a rich verb that has deep meaning. Now listen, to transfer from one state to another, strictly to change by separation. Now, this is all out of a lexicon, Greek dictionary. Therefore, to break up an existing connection and set the one into different state or a different relation. What is going on? What is going on? I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. If I do not go away, I don't think we finished all of 16:7, did we? No, let's turn to John 16:7. So I want you to see this, how rich this word is that Jesus Christ uses. Gospel of John 16, verse 7. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. changed separation from you. For if I do not go away, the Paraclete shall not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. That's the Holy Spirit. So do you see what's happening, his rich word here? It's going to change their whole state of existence. As long as I'm with you, you're related to me. I'm going away, which is going to change your state. I'm going away, it's going to change your position. No longer will you follow me, you will follow the Paraclete, and he won't be a human being, it'll be a spirit. So you've got to do it by faith. But here's a rich word, translated to go. Look how much we miss. Look how much we miss. I'm going away, it'll change, and my going is going to change your whole condition, your position, your status. Because before I went, you followed me. Now that I'm going away, you won't follow me any longer. You will follow the Holy Spirit. That's what he's saying here in this passage. So what Jesus Christ is saying, bottom of page 13, what Jesus Christ is saying here is that he must leave his current relation with the disciples and actually change their relation from him to his Spirit, whom he will send. So you can see how rich it is to know the original language here. Three different words translated to go. 17:7, where Jesus Christ uses another word for ascension. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage spiritually that I go away. If I do not go away, the Parakletos, in the margin, which is in your margin in the NASB, so I didn't make it up, referring to the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. So, but if I go, this is not the same Greek word used twice already. This third time, all right, look, one, I go away. Two, if I do not go away. Now three, but if I go. That is a different Greek word. The King James attempts to show this is a different Greek word. But it says, but if I depart, and this is the same Greek word we have already noted in goruomai, to go from one place to another. So he doesn't use that rich word again. This is just another word, I go from one place to another. Now, while here, I want you to note John 16:17. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I have come forth from the Father. I came out from the Father, commission, and am come into the world, incarnation. Again, I leave the world and go unto the Father. This is the same Greek word we had in 14:2. To go. Alright, we come now to the eighth word. The eighth word for ascension. This one is in the very precious Lord's Prayer in John 17, where Jesus Christ is addressing God the Father. John 17, verse 11. And I am no more in the world. Result of the ascension. And these are in the world, and I come to thee. This is our ninth word, I come to thee. This is orkamai, which simply means to come or to go. Holy Father. And we are to be holy as he is holy. Just want to throw that in. Jesus Christ addresses him as Holy Father. We're to be holy as he is holy. We cannot do that. So what has to happen? God the Father imputes his holiness to us when we believe in Jesus Christ. He imputes his perfect righteousness, his justice. See, this is what we saw Sunday morning. The justice of God sees that holiness, sees that perfect righteousness, and says justified. So we are holy. Also note down in verse 13 of John 17, but now I come. Jesus Christ uses the same verb he just used in verse 11. To thee, God the Father. Talking to God the Father. And these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy, made full in themselves. The ninth word. And I want to say I thank James for doing this, because there's no way you could take in these notes. Even if I had to put them up here on a overhead, there's no way you would have been able to follow through. But now you can go home, and when you meditate, and I hope you do, on the ascension of Christ, you can go through and examine the different words in context, read some verses before and after, get all of these things together. The ninth Greek word for ascension is in Acts chapter 1, Acts 1:11. Who also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand you looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was received up from you into heaven, shall also come in like manner as you beheld him going into heaven." First, was received up. This is anna lambano. See that anna? You know that means up. You may not know what lambano means, but you know anna means up. So this is up, and plus the verb to take, and it means to take up. So that's the word used here. But also note at the end of the verse, going. This is the same verb we had in John 14:2. Now, Ephesians 4:8, not a different word, but I want to just complete some of the passages where you can study the ascension of Christ. Ephesians 4:8, wherefore he said, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. These are the Old Testament saints. And gave gifts unto men. This is the same Greek word used in John 20:17, our passage, translated ascension. Note here, he ascended on high. You can put in your own words, all the different things of where, send it to the Father, send it on high, send it into heaven. So we got a lot of different words talking about his ascension. Also, 1 Timothy 3:16, not a new word, but another verse dealing with the ascension. By common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. He who was revealed in the flesh, vindicated or justified, if you please, by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. Verse 16 is the last verse of chapter 3. It's a beautiful verse. Same word used in Acts chapter 1:11. The tenth and the final Greek word for the ascension in the Hebrew is in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest, and we do, who has passed through the heavens. That's how I know he went through the first and second heaven. I passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our declaration of faith. All right, our word here has passed. Der ekomai. This is dia, which translated means through, and the verb to come or to go. Has come or gone through the heavens, specifically the first and second heaven to the third heaven. Okay. Let's see in the point two. Yes?
I was just wondering, why does it say hold fast our confession? So that's actually declaration of faith?
Yeah. That means to live what you say you live. You say you believe. And put it in terms of our study. That's why if we fall apart at the death of someone we love, our own approaching death, we're not holding fast our confession. We say we believe this, and then we fall apart. I'm not talking about sorrow. Legitimate sorrow is wonderful. But if we fall apart, trying to hold on to life, hold on to something here, you're not holding on to your confession. Yesterday, oh, I believe in Jesus Christ, I believe all these things. Now you're faced with this problem, and you fall apart. Well, hold on to your confession. At this point in death, the ascension, your ascension from earth to heaven. That's all death is. Ascension from earth to heaven. And that's a wonderful thing, people. It's an absolutely wonderful thing. There are different words used to describe the rapture, snatched, taken up, rapture, just different translations of the Greek, different Greek words. Here we have 10 different Greek words describing the ascension of our Lord. I mean, to me, this has just been a rich study to note 10 different Greek words to describe one event, the ascension of Jesus Christ from earth to heaven. And you and I will follow him, ascension from earth to heaven at our death. Let's close.
Somebody else reads Hebrews 4:14, hold fast to our confession. Would that mean confession? Could they take it as confession of sin?
If they did, they'd take it totally out of context.
Yeah,
they do. They do. Yeah, they do. They'd be taking it totally out of context here. Yeah, absolutely. So, but we will ascend into heaven. We'll follow him. And that's a wonderful thought, people. So the study of the ascension of Christ, to me, is so rich for us to think when we die, we'll follow him in ascending into heaven. Let's close in a word of prayer. Wow, Father, no matter how we come at it, you're such a gracious God. You give us so many different ways to look at our departure from earth. Death has no victory. Death has no sting. The grave has no victory. The moment we stop breathing here, we start breathing in heaven. That's just amazing. Our ascension into heaven, following our Savior. Father, we thank you for this journey the Spirit's taken us on, through these rich words. Don't want to get lost in the grammar, but the richness of the words, the conveying of different thoughts, different views of his ascension. Pray, Father, your Spirit can take these things, let them settle in our souls and become a reality in our lives. To this end, Father, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.